Do you want to find great deals on sports cards? Then this show is for you, because today we're giving you our best inside tips on how to find great sports card deals. Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another Cards on the Table. This is, by the way, a very special Cards on the Table today, because not only are we going to give you some incredible knowledge on how to find great sports card deals, but we also have a special guest with us today, Chuck from Midwest Cards. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Big upgrade.
We are happy to have Chuck. Yes, you are filling in the shoes of Doug so nicely that we may never invite Doug back again.
Oh, I mean, I hate to, you know, be that person, but I'll take it.
There you go. Chuck, you guys may know Chuck from Midwest Cards. He does a lot of, breaking, and it represents the Midwest Cards brand very well. And you even brought a show and tell today. Chuck, what is this?
What do we have here? This is, I know we're getting into this a little bit later, but this is our MVP buyback kit for the Topps buyback program that we're all very excited about. And we're going to take special care of everyone who needs to jump in and get their cards in. Maybe they can't go to a hobby shop, and we'll tell you how.
Ooh, you can submit MVP buybacks by mail to Midwest Cards.
That's right, absolutely.
How do you get one of those?
Well, basically, you just go to MidwestCards.com. You can order your pack right there. And it comes with all the instructions you need. Everything in here will walk you right through the process and get your cards just right away.
MidwestCards.com. There's my notes. T-Paw, by the way, how are you today?
Happy he's here and not Doug.
That's right.
I'm good.
It's a good day, isn't it?
It's a good day.
Yep. And it's a good day for you guys as well. We are going to be talking about tips to find great deals on sports cards. Let's get started on this, Teapot. I'm curious to hear, what are your best tips? Sneaky tips. Maybe some of the audience hasn't thought about before. I've got a few. I know you got a lot. So give us some rapid fire tips right now.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what types of cards you're looking for. Are you looking for high end, low end? A big thing, and I think people know this, but maybe some people don't, is look in weird hours. You know, definitely don't do your day job. Look for cards. And sometimes you find those. You can also, locate them when they're on auction at other hours, but if they're ending at weird times, put in your bid or set a reminder to check in. A lot of the data that we see come through to market movers that's like low prices is always at weird hours.
Yeah.
That's always at weird hours or off peak. I don't know why people end them at those times. Another thing is just obviously looking around many marketplaces. Mm-hmm. There is a website that not a lot of people know about. Maybe I'm a little reluctant to say this because I like it, but if you're into like lower end cards, base cards, like PC, player stuff, Sportlots.com is a great resource. They have like tons of singles, and these cards are very cheap, like even cheaper than ComC, similar model. And I love ComC as well for that exact reason. But I think the big thing that you have to talk about when you're saying, how do I find a deal, is knowing what a good price on a card is in the first place. And I'm not trying to like shamelessly plug market movers, but having data at your fingertips to know what a card's been going for, not just on the last comp and overly fixating on that because it could have been shill bid, it could have been manipulated, whatever. But having that sales trajectory and being able to see over time how a card has ebbed and flowed, where the min and max have been, that's half the battle. Having that education and that awareness of what something should be worth, I think is really critical to making sure you're getting a good deal in the first place.
Yeah, these are all really good tips. And you mentioned look across multiple marketplaces. With how the marketplace, market has become fragmented recently, now you used to be eBay was the king of auctions below a certain dollar threshold.
Yeah.
But now you've got PWCC doing the weekly auctions. You've got Goldin doing weekly auctions. You've got other marketplaces that have jumped into that game as well. And it's hard for buyers to look across all these different marketplaces. There are absolutely deals in the lower end specifically. There's wild deals to be had sometimes looking at the weekly auctions of places like, Goldin right now. So definitely keep an eye out for that. Chuck, what advice do you have for our wonderful listening audience?
Well, I think specifically as well, we talked about singles and stuff like that. We look at wax, and people always want to have a good deal on wax, right? We
see that's what you guys are known for.
That's right. That's what we specialize in. So, as you mentioned, there's auction is a great way to get a deal on wax. Obviously, if it's going up for auction, chances are you're getting that below retail, and that's going to put you in a good spot. But I think something everyone kind of skips out on is these programs that all these different websites have. I mean, we have one as well as an insider program, but I mean, it's out there for pretty much anywhere you buy. And I feel like people skip over those a lot. You're just so reluctant to join another program, because you have one for every store that exists now. But really, you're kind of just throwing money away because you're going to buy this wax anyway. It adds up, it builds up, and then you can redeem that for some wax down the road. And I think you're kind of just tossing that money to the side when all of a sudden, a couple months from now, there's the big deal you want because all these points piled up, and next thing you know, you're getting a box for half off. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people kind of skip over that and just lose out by not joining.
Yeah, The rewards programs, those are, it's a good idea. Yeah, excellent. Okay, I like that idea a lot. And some other ideas, first of all, this is basic advice, but always buy in the off season, oftentimes early in the off season. You did a video recently where you talked about now is a great time to buy baseball cards.
Yes.
Now is absolutely a great time to buy baseball cards. You should not probably be buying football or basketball at the moment as those seasons are heating up. You really should be thinking about the sports that nobody's thinking about and no one's really thinking about baseball right now. That always seems to work. Buy when the market's down. Typically, the market dips every November. We're absolutely in a market dip right now. It's actually probably a pretty good time to buy right now. If it follows the same pattern as last year, we'll see if it does or not. But if it follows the same pattern, we're going to see a rise in the market in January. Avoid buying into the hype. You know, when a player's hottest, when they're in our top five list, not always the best time to buy, often not the best time to buy. Obviously, you want to anticipate who's going to become on those top five lists. One more, bring cash to places like trade nights. You can actually, you go to trade nights, but if you have cash in your pocket, you can get some really good deals off of other people who came to trade night to trade cards, but you pull out some cash and oftentimes you can get really good prices, buy below comps with cash at trade nights, especially if it's taking place as part of a card show. People love to get cash at like a trade night because then they can take it to the card show the next day and spend that cash on the show floor. That's a win-win for everybody, a win-win for them, a win-win for the dealers at the card show, and a win-win for you that you just got some good deals. Speaking of good deals, one of those auction houses that oftentimes has really, really great deals is Pristine Auction. That is an auction house that you guys need to check out often to see what deals they have. And they got a couple of things in their elite auction that's taking place right now, Teapot. We're about in a minute to debate the merits of the 1986 Fleer set and the design of that set, which is one of my all-time favorites. And right now, Pristine Auction has the complete 1986 Fleer set all in PSA 8 up in their elite auction. And if you're looking for something a little more affordable, they have a really cool Yankees signed photo that features Mickey Mantle, Billy Martin, Joe DiMaggio, Whitey Ford, all on the same photo, all autographed. Currently, as of the filming of this, less than $400.
Yeah.
Get in there, pristineauction.com. What do you have your eyes on?
I saw the Yankees piece. That's really cool. I'm a Notre Dame guy. There is a Lou Holtz signed Charles Fazzino Notre Dame Fighting Irish custom framed 3D silk. It's inscribed. It's got autos on it. It says 1988 National Champs, numbered to 100. It's a Fanatics item. It's super cool.
There you go. And when you register at pristineauction.com, use registration code SCI. You're going to get $10 free in your account to use towards these items or any of the thousands of other great deals they have at pristineauction.com. Okay, Teapot, you created quite the controversial video on Data Dive this last week. You said why you don't care about rookie cards. And then you doubled down in the video and you not only said rookie cards, but you were starting to bag on 1986 Fleer and National Treasures and Topps Chrome base cards, all kinds of staples in the hobby. What has gotten into you? And tell us these different views and why do you possibly feel this way?
Well, we're heading into the holidays. Things have been a little bit of a lull in the sports card hobby, and I thought just time to get something spicy out there and get people super aggravated. Look, before I get totally annihilated in these comments, like I did by some people in the comments of my video, one thing is really clear, and I was describing what I like for my personal collection, what I like to buy. And I, in fact, went as far as to distinguish there's a big difference between what you might like, what I might like, and there is for me, and what most people like. And if you're talking about trying to buy cards that are going to retain value long term, then you definitely need to slot into what the hobby mold is for what they like, what's been accepted. That includes rookie cards, it includes graded cards, it includes Bowman First, all of those things. But I'm all about eye appeal. I like shiny, I like cool photos, I like other things. So we've done these comparisons in the past. Would you rather have this rookie card for this price or this second, third, eighth year card? And I did that comparison comparing a Hakeem Olajuwon Essential Credentials to his PSA 10 1986 Fleer. And I just said, look, I like the credentials. That's my preference. This is what I'd rather have. And they both went for the exact same price, roughly. So that's kind of where I went with it. The upcoming video I have this weekend is the opposite, which will be things that I maybe like a little more than most people do. But that's the beautiful thing about the hobby. There's room for everyone. So go ahead, beat me up, get all worked up and sweaty.
I mean, there's room for everybody except those who think that 1986 Fleer's design is bad. There is no room for that. Chuck, you have any initial thoughts here to the craziness that is this guy over here?
I mean, it's definitely some craziness. I mean, when it comes to saying, like, you know, oh, I don't care about rookie cards. I mean, it just feels like that's what this whole entire hobby is built on. I mean, that's like it all started with I'm chasing, and you're right. There's room for everybody. You like what you like, you collect what you collect. That's the beauty of all of this, right? Makes it the best. But it's hard for me to get on board with thinking that I'll just take this guy's seventh year card over his rookie card. I'm not sure I can get quite on board with that, but I mean, it's your PC, it isn't mine. Mine personally is gonna be flooded with rookie cards.
Yeah. will hold value better over time too.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Grading is overrated. Man, some of these takes here were a little bit hard to stomach, Teapot. I don't know.
It was the same thing, like I'd rather have six cards I really like in an eight over one of them in a 10 and never being able to get the other five. You know, it's like for my PC, I like variety. I like the chase of different things. And I've got a bunch of kids, so I can't spend too much, you know?
You have an eccentric taste.
I do.
And that means
eclectic.
Eclectic, eccentric. That means anyone who buys your collection in the future would also have to have eclectic, eccentric taste, yep. Which limits your buyer pool down. If you go for the more traditional stuff, you got a wider buyer pool. But you know what? Hey, I appreciate the fact that you were advocating for collecting what you love.
Yeah.
And just because 99% of the hobby thinks it's cool doesn't mean that this 1% has to think it's cool.
There either. Will definitely so, be a handsome, vertically challenged, eccentric person in the future who wants my collection.
There you go. All right, guys, we got a lot more to talk about and debate. We've got the Topps MVP buyback program. We got to talk about women's sports cards. And then, by the way, I got to get over to Whatnot because I am live right now, going live right now on the Cards HQ shop account on Whatnot, selling a whole bunch of cards. So I want you to check that out as well. So let's take a quick break and we're going to get back to these topics. All right, guys, welcome back. And I'm excited to talk about the Topps MVP buyback program because it is that time of year. In fact, 30 minutes from now, Teapot, the MVPs will be announced.
Hey.
30 minutes from now. A lot of people think it's Acuña and Ohtani. I hope it's Acuña and Ohtani. But we're gonna find out for sure in 30 minutes. But Chuck, Topps has been doing, they started this MVP buyback program last year. This is now in its second year. Everybody out there, anyone who's buying baseball cards, this season should become aware of this thing because it's actually pretty impactful. And some people have really kind of worked the system here to end up with some really big credits at card shops to be able to spend on other things. Talk to us about how this program works and is this a good thing for the hobby?
Well, I'll answer the last part first. I think it's a tremendous thing for the hobby. I mean, any other reason we can give, just to give people more of a chance to basically get that return on their investment, right? I mean, I've seen you guys talk about it plenty of time on this show about buying boxes and maybe being let down a little bit. Well, now you don't just chase in the big, big cards. Literally base cards will pay you back, which is great. So, I mean, if you don't know exactly how it works, maybe Ohtani and Acuña, we're gonna go with those names for now. We'll find out very shortly after this airs. But, you're mailing those in this case, or going to your local hobby shop and retaining that for store credit. I think that's absolutely amazing. So as you mentioned, you're talking Topps Chrome 2023, came out in the summertime. You buy your hobby box, you go through this box. At that point in time, you didn't know who was gonna be the front runner. So you actually have a reason to hang on to these cards, go back through them, keep looking, enjoying them for a little bit longer. And as we got closer, now all of a sudden you pull an Acuña base card. Oh, let me set that to the side. The Ohtani, set that to the side.
Because those are worth, what, $20, right?
Those are worth $20 just $20, for the base card.
Just the base cards are worth $20
right.
in store, which is a lot more than what they would ever normally sell for.
Oh, goodness.
If those guys weren't part of this MVP buyback program.
No question about it. And it just goes up from there in the different tiers. And, if you have your local hobby shop, great. You go there and buy your cards. You bring them back in, get your store credit. But, a lot of people buy cards online. We're a big online retailer. We also do have a shop, but you know, a lot of people maybe don't have a chance to walk into their local hobby shop and get that store credit. So what we're doing is taking it to that next level. So you got your, whoever the MVPs may be, Acuña, Ohtani, who we're going with. You go to our website, you order this buyback kit, as we talked about off the top, and it walks you through what you just said. I mean, first of all, it takes all the guesswork out of it. You got a prepaid envelope in here.
Okay.
Sipping it right back to us.
Nice.
The other thing that's nice about it is we got this form here, and on this form, it's going to give you right here what you talked about. So it has all the different versions of those, the base, the refractors, the numbered. It tells you exactly what they're worth. So you already know what you have coming back to you before you send it off.
Okay. All right.
So it's a very easy way to take advantage of this program.
All right. So MidwestCards.com.
That's right.
I like this idea because this makes it accessible to more people. Even if you don't have a hobby shop close to you, you can do this. Are you taking advantage of this teapot? Is this program something you want to see Topps continue and expand in future years?
Yeah, I hit one last year. I hit a judge last year and was able to, you know, cash that in. And I think, like Chuck said, it's just a fantastic idea. Mm-hmm. This is one of the better ideas I've seen come from Topps under the Fanatics brand. And it's been a fan favorite. Obviously, it was really interesting seeing for like a 2-week period, Mookie Betts, Topps Chrome cards spike up as he became the Vegas odds favorite. Yep. One thing that may not be a bad idea, though I do think it's pretty clearly a lock of Ohtani and Acuña, would be to be on a site like Compsy or something and have the screen open ready to hit buy on Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts.
Just
if
in case.
Some kind of crazy thing happened,
just
right?
In
just
case.
In case.
Okay.
That might not be a bad idea, probably a long shot, but you know, when that announcement comes out. But I think this is a great idea, and I think it's great. I did hear people literally last year saying, I don't have a card shop, what do I do? So this helps
there
bridge the gap. It's really smart.
MidwestCards.com. I hope Topps and Fanatics expand this program. I hope they, I mean, first of all, keep it going with the MVPs. I would love to see them do more of these types of buybacks in the future.
Yeah.
I think it's a super, super cool program, and I would love to see more of it.
Yeah.
So kudos to Topps for putting that together and keeping that going. Also, I want to talk today, one of our viewers, actually on Instagram. We put out a post on Instagram every week on Mondays, and we say, hey, what topics do you want us to talk about on the show? Someone said, you know what, it is time to talk about the future of women's sports cards. And you know what, it is the time to talk about the future of women's sports cards because there's something really interesting happening this year, Teapot. I am a big college basketball fan.
Yep.
For the first time that I can remember, there, in my opinion, are more compelling, bigger name, better known stars in women's college basketball than there are in men's college basketball. You've got incredible stars. You've got Caitlin Clark. You've got Angel Reese. You got, and now for UConn, we get Paige Buchers back this season. There's big name stars. It's going to be very compelling to see what they do this year. And then they're going to be going into the WNBA. We actually ripped a box of WNBA Prism on our Market Movers member live stream earlier this week. And it's a great product, as you would expect. It's a better product than men's Prism because you get more color and you get more autographs and all that stuff because they produce less boxes of it overall. I think it's a compelling, compelling time to take a look at women's sports cards, especially the basketball cards. But of course, you got cards of all types, soccer and everything as well. What are your thoughts right now, Teapot, on the future of women's sports cards?
Well, I think just like men's sports, the popularity of a sports card product and of a particular genre has a lot to do with the popularity of the sport itself. Right? So you're trying to bridge two gaps. Those two things don't directly overlap, but as popularity grows for any sport in particular, whether it's the WNBA or cricket or whatever the thing is, then now you're increasing the odds that there are going to be a subset of those people and fans interested in the sports cards and that audience grows. I think it's really smart. I think there's some intentionality happening between media outlets and the NCAA and other groups to start the momentum early. And that's what gets people really excited. When you can make that connection to an athlete through your favorite college, and then it carries over and translates into the pros, you're doing two things. You're helping people who maybe root for their Detroit sports team get a new superstar maybe, or you're taking somebody from Iowa, if you're an Iowa person, and you root for them wherever Caitlin Clark goes. So that's what's been really successful for the NBA in particular, and the other leagues as well. It's all about the superstars and building, you know, momentum around those people. I think in that sense, it just starts and ends with the leagues to carry that torch forward and help making sure that they can drive up the fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. What are you seeing, Chuck? Obviously, Midwest Cards, you guys sell a lot of wax. Do you expect increasing demand for women's wax products going forward?
I mean, to your point, I mean, it's exactly my thought process is, you know, we don't see a big spike as of right now when the season kind of kicks up like you do a lot of times across basically any sport. But yes, I mean, generational talents drive the sales of cards. And, you know, we've seen that with Wembanyama coming up in the men's side, right? Everyone is back to being on board and excited about basketball cards again. And they kind of took a little bit of a dive a little bit. And now you're talking about Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. But I mean, Caitlin Clark is just, you know, people are just attributing her to like that Steph Curry type with how the shooting ability, it's out of this world. She's so fun to watch. And those are the things that then drive that force when she moves on to the pros to really up that value. I mean, the Bowman Chrome that she was in university. You saw the sales of that go crazy.
People are chasing that a lot.
They were chasing that big time.
Yeah, recently one of her first Bowman U Inception autos recently sold for $415. Her auto refractors from Bowman's Best PSA 10, $515. These are recent sales, you know, from market movers. So yeah, we're seeing that for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that's just what drives it. And, you know, we don't have to just stop at basketball either. I mean, you have women's sports. Clearly, like WWE is a really big one. And, you know, a few years ago, they had a giant influx into the women's division.
Yep.
And they kind of really flipped that around and made it almost the marquee thing to watch when you're watching WWE. And I think that's also really helped drive that product and just women's sports.
We saw what somebody like Serena Williams could do in terms of the card market in women's tennis, where a lot of her cards were selling for more than Federer, Nadal, Novak. And so if these other leagues can get those people who just, people go, wow, this is must-see TV, that's going to put a lot of energy into those sport cards.
Are you guys going to buy Prizm WNBA next year? Maybe delve into women's sports cards for the first time? Let us know what you think in the comments. And then go to MidwestCards.com, get one of these MVP buyback kits so you're ready for that. And then finally, go over to Whatnot right now. I'm live on the Cards HQ shop account on Whatnot right now, selling all of those cards that we featured in our video on the Sports Card Investor channel here this past Sunday. All right, guys, I appreciate you watching. We'll see you soon with our next episode. Take care.